The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
First of May, good afternoon. This is The Man in Line on Manx Radio. It's Beth sitting in again for Andy today. Anything on your mind? Let us know. You might have had a chance to look at that CQC report into the emergency department at Nobles Hospital. Maybe you'd like to share your experience of ED if you've been recently. It'd be good to hear the positive stories as well. Other things you might be thinking about, that revised bus timetable that came into force yesterday, and also the news that's broken in the past half hour that a teachers' union will begin escalated action, short of strike action, from Monday. 66 13 68 is the number to call, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. And I just want to, first of all, follow up on something we were talking about yesterday. We had a couple of texts and a voice message left about the complaints procedure for Manx Care. And I got in touch with Manx Care just to follow this one up. And with regard to the comments on the programme yesterday, Manx Care says they've asked if the person or persons could please make direct contact so they can ask their complaints team to look into these complaints. So the person who's made the allegation about their complaint and the length of time it's taken should contact the Manx Care Advice and Liaison Service. And Karen Maddox is the service lead, and she has been made aware to look out for an approach from somebody. mcals@gov.im, that's mcals@gov.im, is the email address for that service. Unfortunately, Manx Care says they aren't able to comment on individual cases, but they would urge anyone in question with regard to their complaints to reach out to mcals, and Karen will be able to look into that further. Following on from that CQC report, we were talking about pharmacies and the minor ailments scheme. And I've got a little bit more information about the sort of things that you can get treatment for at pharmacies. This includes things like bacterial conjunctivitis, inflammatory skin disorders, impetigo, shingles, thrush, hay fever, cough, gout, any exercise-related injuries, toothache, constipation, nappy rash, or urinary tract infections. Shall I just call them UTIs? Let's go with that. You might be able to get treatment under the Minor Ailments Scheme, which is operated through community pharmacies. And prescriptions are free of charge for people who normally get free prescriptions. But it's important to note that not everyone will be eligible for treatment under the Minor Ailments Scheme. That might depend on your age or any pre-existing medical conditions you might have. So it is worth calling ahead to check your local community pharmacist can offer you treatment under this scheme before making the journey. So that might be something that's worth looking into. Now, I mentioned the news that has just broken in the past half hour about a teaching union which is set to begin escalated action short of strike on the Isle of Man from Monday. The NASUWT has announced this move less than a week, certainly just 2 days into the start of the new academic year. It's after what it calls the failure of the Manx government to improve pay and tackle excessive and onerous workloads and working practices. So what this means is, from Monday, its members will no longer undertake break duties or cover staff absences, planned or otherwise, and they won't start any new work practices that have not been agreed to beforehand by the union. It is the latest move in a long-running dispute, which has also seen members stopping attending meetings or replying to emails outside of school hours since April. Now, of course, we were aware that the school year was fast approaching, and this was something we were asking both the unions and the department about in the past week. And when we spoke to the Department of Education earlier this week, they said the department is committed to maintaining an open door policy with all unions and actively engages with them. We continue to invest in the workforce, recognising the value of the profession and the role it plays in the future of our young people and education across the Isle of Man. So that was a statement before this announcement was made. We are going to approach the Department of Education again. But I wonder what you think about that. Perhaps you're a teacher who has retired recently or given up the profession recently. It'd be really interesting to hear your thoughts, because I know, talking to a couple of friends of mine who are teachers, they were really disheartened by the comments that they saw on social media posts yesterday about schools breaking up early for Christmas. And they felt there's a feeling that schools are a form of childcare. They believe that's how some parents see it. And I wonder maybe how you see that. 66 13 68 is the number to call. It'd be great to speak to you on air. Barry is ready and waiting as I speak. He's looking very eager, I can tell you. 166 177 is the text number. You can also email studio@manxradio.com. And if you've got us as a contact on WhatsApp, you can also WhatsApp us any messages as well. We did talk quite a bit yesterday, didn't we, about this Care Quality Commission's report. Current Health Minister Laurie Hooper has told Manx Radio that work is underway to improve the situation in the island's emergency department at Nobles Hospital. This follows the CQC report, which found 4 out of 5 areas not up to standard. Among other things, the inspection also highlighted staff concerns that they didn't feel respected. Well, David Ashford was Health Minister at the time from 2018 to 2021. He says he isn't very surprised at these conclusions.
One of the reasons when I was Minister for Health that I was very keen on us getting an independent inspection regime, and one of the reasons I wanted it in the Manx Care Bill when the bill came through into becoming the Act, was precisely for this reason, which was to have independent inspection that would be able to take on and challenge precisely these things. So I think what's come out won't necessarily have come as a massive surprise, but it actually shines a light on it and makes it very much front and centre of what Manx Care has to tackle. I said throughout my time as Minister for Health and Social Care that one of the big challenges in that department was culture. That was something that I never shied away from saying publicly. I did it during many Manx Radio interviews I did over the years. The findings of this first CQC report won't necessarily come as a surprise. I was always quite honest in public. I said it was going to be an uphill battle, that you can't just change the culture of an organisation overnight. It can take years, and we have to be honest, sometimes it can take decades to change an ingrained culture, particularly where that culture is built into every level throughout an organisation. But one of the things I always said as Minister was I was determined to try and do it. One of the ways of doing that is to bring in independent inspection that can shine a light on these problems. And so in many ways, the CQC report should actually be welcomed for the fact it has identified issues that now need to be tackled.
So no surprises there for the former Health Minister, David Ashford. What do you make of what he had to say? Well, former head of the DHSC, Eddie Teer, was in charge from 2006 until 2010. He says he's quite concerned about these findings.
I can't comment about clinical issues. I can just comment about administrative issues. I did feel myself that there was a reluctance to embrace modern technology. For example, in Tynwald, quite a few years ago, we had voice recognition for the recording of Tynwald debates. It's called Hansard. So it completely helped to remove secretarial work. We put a new computer system into Nobles, and the hope was that that would enable the consultants to move away from individual medical secretaries onto voice recognition for part of the work, although there would still need to be medical secretaries there to organise appointments, etc. But I was disappointed with that. And then 2019, I think it was, to go into hospital as a patient, called an accident emergency. I've been referred by my GP, and I was just sitting there talking to the doctor, and he had a pile of papers in his hand. So I said, if you don't mind me asking, has all this information come from my surgery by fax? He said, yeah. Now, again, the computer system was meant to do away with that. I'm not sure what the position is in medical records, but at one time there was 30 staff moving medical records around Nobles Hospital. Well, that can't be efficient, and it's costly as well. The time I was in there, it was fine. There was from the treatment point of view, I was in and out after a few days. There have been issues, for example, with ophthalmic surgery, and I definitely wasn't happy with the way that the waiting list was being managed. I brought in, with the help of the then Treasurer, Mr. Alan Bell, a waiting list initiative, and we set up an operating theatre in the Ramsey College Hospital, brought over a gentleman consultant, and he was absolutely first class. It caused a storm with the ophthalmic surgeons, but nevertheless, it cut the waiting list.
That is Eddie Teer, who was the Health Minister from 2006 to 2010. So what do you make of what Mr. Teer and Mr. Ashford have had to say in response to this report, which was released to us yesterday. 166177 studio at manxradio.com or 66 13 68 is the number to call. We've had a message from Jane to say Jack's Lane in Mackold is currently blocked with a broken down van. That might still be ongoing, so if you are in that area, do take care, and we'll be back just after this.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861271.
Red and yellow and pink or blue?
Thinking of a rainbow?
No, choosing colours for our windows and doors at Manx Glass and Glazing.
Oh, who'd have thought we'd have so much choice?
We do at Manx Glass and Glazing. When it comes to windows and doors, they offer a great choice of styles, materials and fabulous contemporary colours.
Improve and brighten up your home. Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Or get inspired when you see the range at manxglass.com.
When you need a monument for your loved ones, contact T.E. Cubbon, a trusted family-run business for over 150 years. T.E. Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions, and fire hearths. For quality workmanship and a professional personal service tailored to your wishes, visit us at Hope Street, Castletown, or at Broadway, Douglas. Call 844-440. T.E. Cubbon, here when you need us.
Manx Utilities are currently replacing prepayment customers' key meters with new smart electricity meters in homes in Castletown and Ballasalla. As a smarter pay-as-you-go customer, you can access our new Smarter Living app to keep an eye on your energy use in real time and to top up your credit quickly at a time that suits you. You can also top up at selected stores and via our website. To find out more about the changes, visit the Smarter Living page at manxutilities.im.
After a thrilling draw last time out, FC Isle of Man are back at the Bowl again this weekend in the NWCFL Premier Division. The Ravens welcome Burscoe to the Bowl on Saturday, with the Manx side keen to make some progress up the league table. Join me, Rob Pritchard, and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Burscoe, kicking off at 6pm this Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our AM 1368 and digital platforms. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio AM 1368 is supported by Selton, investing in our community.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
And it's just coming up to 20 past 12 here on The Man in Line. 66 13 68 is the number to call if you'd like to go on air and talk about anything you like. We've mentioned a few things, but you can talk about anything that's on your mind this lunchtime, and Barry would love to have a little chat with you. Let's go to some of the text messages that we've got in, though, now. You can text 166177 or email studio at manxradio.com. Texter ending 901 says, I would just like to raise more awareness about how many private doctor practices are popping up since COVID. It's impossible for people who are desperate for a doctor to be seen for a week, being told to ring at 8am every morning when you're suffering and have paid into the NHS for 60 years is a disgrace. Is the government trying to push us slowly to privatisation like America? Conservative Tory UK are pushing this agenda, and it's disgusting. Elderly people are suffering terribly and then being told to go to A&E if they can't get an appointment. That is why A&E is always full of people. The narrative is being pushed so people pay for private. Poor people can't afford to go privately, and why should we when we've paid in for 60, 50, 40, 30 years? As a full-time carer for a parent, I'm so frustrated and upset. I have a small cafe, says John, which is struggling for lunchtime trade. The UK has made a push to get people back into the workplace. Civil servants working from home have no excuse anymore. They need to be available in person. I wonder how many are still continuing to work from home. We need trade in town. Is that something that you're struggling with? Or perhaps you're somebody who's chosen to stay working at home. Maybe it works for you better, a more flexible lifestyle, but it's having a bit of an impact maybe if you're not getting out and about for lunchtime. Interesting point, that one. Gaz says, Mr Ashford, then Minister, dismissed claims in October 2021 that health should be in special measures. Surprisingly, he now feels the need to comment. Seemingly, our politicians see themselves as comedians. I think it's fair to say we approached Mr Ashford for an interview on this yesterday. Following on from my message yesterday over Manx Care and complaints, I've had my complaint responded to, but they have failed to acknowledge or answer the questions that I have raised. It is an absolute disgrace. Well, as I said in the beginning, there is a procedure if you're not happy with how your complaint has been handled, and the email address for the Manx Care Advice and Liaison Service again is mcals@gov.im. So it'd be well worth getting in touch with them and seeing if that matter can be resolved for you. Another texter here from Gary, who says, I hope you read this out and hopefully the general public and maybe higher powers too. Jerby Road has been resurfaced and what a wonderful job the DOI has done. But please, please, can we at least some of the many speeders using it? I wonder if that's catch some of the speeders using it, maybe, Gary. And can I say, and this is Gary's opinion, 9 times out of 10, it's women who are the ones breaking the law. Like you to justify that one, Gary. Gaz says, for your information, Bermuda are in a constitutional dispute with the UK because they want to legalise cannabis and a block has been put on royal assent to a bill. Pammy has been in touch to say, I see teachers waited for their 7 weeks holiday to be over before asking for more money. Let's all pull together. We are all struggling, not just the teachers. They do a good job, but they aren't special. Paul's been in touch to say British government is to lift the ban on fracking and issue more licensing for North Sea oil and gas. Now, what is Kroger for us? If we don't take advantage of this, we'll be left behind. It's time to put to one side our green aims for a few more years. That's Paul's opinion. What do you make about that? George says the culture at Nobles Hospital has been problematic for over 10 years, to my reliable knowledge. George, perhaps are you somebody who's worked there? It would be interesting to get an insight from somebody who's worked in the hospital. And as I said yesterday, it must be incredibly difficult when we get news headlines of this nature. If you are somebody who works in the health service and you have to go in every day, and, you know, let's assume that most people go in with the very best of intentions, but how does it feel to have it constantly highlighted that things aren't going necessarily very well? David in Port St Mary is set to say, typical David Ashford, not my fault, government, I'm perfect. The comments from the former health minister, says text running 284, are very worrying. If he had identified issues then, why didn't he do anything about them? Did he bring it up to the Council of Ministers? The report highlights his failure as a minister and he should accept responsibility. This is a message from Pat to say Manx Gas is at it again. In Belfast, a 47 kilogram bottle of gas is £72. At Heysham, it's £73. The same bottle here from Manx Gas is £280.15. We can't and won't blame the difference on shipping. Let's have a truthful explanation from Manx Gas on this one. Well, that is a question we will put to Manx Gas. Fred has been in touch to say, can you please ask your listeners about the truth about the new Manx steam packet vessel not fitting into Douglas Harbour as it's too big? Again, that's a question that we have raised as well. Rob has been in touch to say, if David Ashford knew about the culture in A&E, then he should return to being a barman, because this is why we elect MHKs. The minister is in charge. He is the department. To hide behind the we can't get involved in the general day-to-day running of the department is just a cop-out. Shame on you, Mr. Ashford. I consider myself lucky due to my child now being over the age where childcare is an issue. I do, however, remember the stress of school holiday childcare, not just the cost, but the pressure on parents trying to book time off. Most workplaces have a strict percentage of how many staff they require on working days. If all the parents are able to take every school holiday off, this extra day, and this is the extra day at Christmas where they're finishing a day early, will cause huge stress on so many people. Also, when were the parents consulted? It's too late to do a retrospective consultation and go with the majority. Hi, what do you mean a culture change? Do you mean a more streamlined and accountable civil service? This is a text from Sue, and I think in relation to what David Ashford was saying. The public needs a transparent look into the service and what work they actually do, opposed to what they claim to do. Because the public's faith in these people is low, they seem to follow their own agenda and deal with the public with contempt and disregard. What tangible change can we expect to see within the next 6 months? Asks Sue. Energy has been capped in the UK. Will our government follow suit? Well, we know that our electricity prices have been capped. We've also got bus prices, which from November, all single bus journeys will be capped at £2. That's for a three-month period as part of moves to help ease the burden on the rising cost of living. And that is something that we see is now happening in the UK as well. But speaking of buses, that revised bus timetable came into force on the island yesterday, coinciding with the start of the new school year. And the frequency of some government-owned bus van and services was scaled back in June. That was because of a reported driver shortage. The DOI minister, talking to the BBC, says a recruitment campaign during the intervening months has been successful, allowing some of the services to be restored, and that new timetable is now in operation. So are you a regular bus user? Because if you are, it'd be great to hear what you think about the new bus timetable. Does it suit your needs? Texter ending 653 has been in touch to say it's not only the hospital ED that is toxic, there are other government departments in the same boat. I ended my career early as a result of toxic management. This is a message from Texter ending. This is from James. We have this disgraceful situation regarding A&E, yet the minister responsible for Manx Care is making complete fools of themselves with their ridiculous appeal and delaying tactics concerning the Ranson case. The so-called culture extends right into the department and is disgusting. Minister Hooper should be the one who tackles these issues, and if not, another minister appointed. Why are all Timwood members silent on this? Where is the backbone of these people? The term sub judice is being used too much to prevent free speech. With regard to the vessel issue, in July, DOI submitted a planning application for a marine dolphin and footbridge on the King Edward VIII Pier. £3.25 million was allocated for the project in the budget, but total costs of it are unclear. That was according to the interim director of the DOI Harbours Division, Paul Grace. The DOI Minister, Chris Thomas, said the project was forward planning for the imminent arrival of the new vessel, which is longer than the old vessel. So we had asked the question about what was happening ahead of the Manxman arriving, which is supposed to be, I think, around TT time next year. So there are developments underway. If you don't know what a marine dolphin is, if you just search on the Manx Radio website, there is a little explanation on there. Texter ending 017 says, we are living on a rip-off Isle of Man. Why would anyone go to some cafes here when they charge £16 for two soups and two lattes? I would rather stay at home. They don't even give you sauce or offer brown bread if you want a sausage bap. I don't know where you're going, George, but that sounds terrible. Most of government is run by toxic management, says this texter. The amount of people in senior positions that should be nowhere near managing people. Just look at the airport and DOI, is the claim there. Nick says they should make the teachers go to work on the 23rd of December for an in-service day and let the kids have a day off. That's an interesting thought, Nick. If you were a teacher, would you be okay with that, maybe? This is a text from somebody who hasn't put their name. Oh, it's Jane. This is a text from Jane, which says, having worked in a university hospital in the UK, moving to Nobles was a huge shock. It was so backward. I left and changed career. I welcome the inspection. Sorry, it's in several parts. And I welcome nursing training on the island, as those nurses are trained in a culture that in the UK is not acceptable in any other hospitals. Government should pay for practical training. And then Jane also talks about ill-informed comments that some people are making. It's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because unless you are specifically in the hospital and understand how it all works, it's really difficult when people are making assumptions about what is happening. 166177, studio@manxradio.com are the ways to get in touch with a text or email, or 66 1368 is the number to call if you'd like to go on air. You don't have to talk about the hospital or healthcare. If there's anything else on your mind this lunchtime, it would be great to speak to you on air. I realise I sound like I'm begging. I'm not really.
The Isle of Man Festival of Motoring is back for 2022. And as well as seeing some of the magnificent cars, you can actually go for a ride in one too. On Saturday, 17th of September, Sporting Bears will be on Douglas Promenade to offer you a 10-mile dream ride with a choice of some amazing cars. And what's more, all the money goes to charity. So come down and take a dream ride with the Sporting Bears at the Isle of Man Festival of Motoring.
Join the discussion on real issues facing our community and put your questions directly to ministers at the Isle of Man Government Conference, taking place at the Villa Marina on the 20th and 21st of September. Registrations are free of charge and can be made in advance or on the door. For more details, including a full agenda and link to register, visit gov.im/IOMGC. Building a better future together.
Majestic food, majestic views. The Majestic Chinese Restaurant Douglas. The perfect setting for corporate celebrations this Christmas. Call Simon on 682 791 for details and booking, or search Majestic Chinese Douglas on Facebook.
The Musicals in Concert returns to the Royal Hall Villa Marina Sunday the 2nd of October, presented by Stage Ed. Hear classic songs from the world's greatest musicals in a gala performance by stars from the London stage. The Musicals in Concert, Sunday, October the 2nd at the Villa Marina. Book now at villagaiety.com or on 600555. Supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Andy Wint, the nation station, Manx Radio.
The man in line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
It's 12:33 here on The Man in Line. I didn't just put that sting in the hope you'd pretend that I was Andy and actually phone in. But if it's worked, then all to the good. We can go to the lines now. Jed is on line one. Good afternoon, Jed. How are you doing?
Hi, good. Yeah, just to talk about the quite alarming description of that latest report into the medical services, where the lingo, if you'd like to call it, is describing management as feral and toxic. And that's not something I've seen in the press or in reports, you know, certainly in my time whilst monitoring the news. It does seem to be quite disturbing. And then for a former minister to say that he's not massively surprised and this could take decades to change, to me, gives a great opportunity for perhaps an upcoming MHK or public person to show some leadership to deal with this, because taking decades to fix something that is so important to the Isle of Man isn't acceptable. And I'd like to see, you know, some of our MHKs who've been installed for 12 months to really get a grip here and make pledges, make promises, and make changes to something which should be quite simple to, you know, improve. If something is so bad, there must be some core deficiencies at that, you know, department, and maybe it stretches beyond and through government. But it really is time for the MHKs to stand up and speak out and really take action.
I suppose, Jed, part of the issue is understanding what's actually meant by toxic. As you say, there could be some simple ways of fixing it, but what do we actually mean by that? What do you read into that?
I see that as an environment that's unworkable. I think the, you know, the word feral is most unusual, you know, to describe any form of employment group. And really, this is at the heart of what we love, which is our health service. You know, we need to think about how we cared for the times that we're in most need. And I think this has got to be addressed. And I'm astonished at the silence of our 24 MHKs who choose not to, you know, put the head up here and actually say they're going to do something about it.
Okay, Jed, thank you very much indeed for getting in touch. Some good points there. We can go to line two and join Anne now. Anne, how are you?
Well, I've had two sessions in Nobles during the last 2 years, and I had to say that I received very good treatment in Ward 7. I couldn't fault them, really. I've also been treated recently in A&E, and I was actually immediately seen, and I was actually treated in A&E. I was on a ward, and I was able to go home at the end of the day. I'd been there all day, and I had received very good treatment, to be honest. I don't have any complaints. I have read the Manx Care, and I was really shocked at what was said. But one of the things, having looked at the report, seemed to be shortage of staff all the time. And really, that's what we need to address, because people can't go for training courses if there's no staff to replace them. So I think we need to address housing on the Isle of Man for people working there, so that it's an attractive proposition, which it obviously isn't at the moment. As to the minister, you know, I feel that the ministers go into a department, they don't have the knowledge, and then they're required to make decisions, and that they should be getting independent legal advice. They're advised by the AG's department, which is part of government, and I think that that is not a good thing for government, really. Really, that's just about all I have to say. I couldn't fault them for my treatment.
Oh, Anne, lovely of you to get in touch. It is lovely to hear some positive stories there and some interesting points that you raise with regard to the staffing issue. I wonder, though, how easy it will be to get staff if, in light of this report, people not living on the Isle of Man may be seeing that. I mean, what would they think? We're going back to the lines now, and it is Howard on line three. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Beth. Good. And yourself?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Good. Just listening to the school, the extra holiday for Christmas, it's one day, that's all. It's a yes, and it seems as though the government, the education authority, and a small minority of allegedly parents have agreed to this. But why is it necessary one day, and is it a paid holiday? And will it become part of the normal holiday numbers? The reason why I ask this is that the teachers' union at the moment are asking for a pay rise. Well, if they're getting an extra holiday, will that be included in the pay rise because they're getting a day off? And also, they're saying it's to help with travel. Well, what's the words in the of the world today? We can't afford this, we can't afford that. Well, that's the case. If they can't afford various other aspects of life, how are they able to afford travelling? So, you know, it makes you wonder whose idea this all was, having an extra long weekend over the Christmas period. Or are they going to come back a day early to compensate for this?
Good questions, Howard. We can find out the answer to those. As far as I'm aware, the new term due to start on the 9th of January, but we can certainly find out the answer to the question with regard to the pay offer. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to line four now, and we can join Karen. How are you, Karen?
I'm fine, thank you. And thank you for asking. I just want to say I find all this talk about A&E and the emergency department very distressing, because I've been in there over the years, and all the time I've received good treatment. And if you have to wait, it's because there's ambulances bringing people in who are much seriously ill than you are. If you they take you in, somebody could be die of a heart attack coming in an ambulance. So I think they're doing it right, and there isn't the staff. They can't get the staff to work because, as that lovely lady Anne said, there's not the money for them to live here. The cost of living here is so high. And I've had a friend in hospital, and she was extremely well treated in the wards she was on. There was absolutely no complaints whatsoever. And I've lived on the island a long time, so I've been in A&E, well, not lots of times, but here and there like people do. And I haven't got a complaint about it at all. I think it's very well run. They can only do it in the way for the number of staff they have. The number of staff they have can't split themselves in two and be in two places at once. And the people who run the A&E are very highly qualified and trained, and they know what they're doing. And so if people are going to complain about going and having to wait, why do they go? I just don't see the point. I just want to say that I think A&E are wonderful and they do a wonderful job.
Well, really appreciate you getting in touch, Karen. Thank you very much indeed for those thoughts. As I said at the beginning of the show, it is really good to hear the positive stories, which sometimes get left aside when there is so much negativity. So it is good to hear a balanced view of what is happening. On the lines now, it is line one and Eric. Good afternoon, Eric.
Hi, Beth. You mentioned earlier about the Derby Road. Somebody sent a text in about people driving too fast on the new road surface. I have to agree, they've done a brilliant job of putting that new road in and they put new pavements in. But guess what they didn't do? Didn't put any drop curbs in again.
And is this something you've raised, Eric?
Yes, I've been in touch with the minister, Chris Thomas. He asked me to send it and the photographs to report a problem, is it it's called?
Yeah.
And basically, I've heard nothing since.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? We've talked a little bit about accessibility in recent weeks and how difficult it is, particularly for wheelchair users to get out and about. But a concern maybe, Eric, that this isn't at the forefront of planning.
Well, it should be when they're doing a new pavement, new road, and you don't bother to put drop curbs in. I mean, who came up with that idea?
And have you had a response yet? Did you say no or no one's been back to you yet?
No, I've heard nothing. I've heard nothing from anybody. You know, and you put brand new road and brand new pavements in. How could they not put drop curbs in so you can get across from one side of Clifton Park to the other? Because you have to go 150 yards up into the estate and then come back down on the road and go up onto somebody's driveway to get across the road. And probably what makes it worse is there's a nursing home there, an elderly person's home right there. And no drop curbs. You know, earlier this year, I was on to you about the one on the Andes Road. Mm-hmm. And within a couple of days, he did it. He put the drop curbs in because he was still in the middle of the work. Now, this work is finished. And they've done nothing again. You know, did he not learn by the mistakes?
Okay, Eric.
Who draws up their plans for the work that's being done?
Well, thank you for letting us know about that. That, again, is something that we can put to DIY and we'll follow up on. But if there's any other situations like that that anybody wants to let us know about, do get in touch. Staying on the lines and on line two, it is Steve. Good afternoon, Steve.
How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, living the dream. Living the dream on the old sunny island of Africa. Yeah, very quickly, a lot of the public ringing like me, and you wonder why we bother, because, you know, there's no government member listens to the radio. They don't drive down the same streets we do. They don't listen to the point of view of the people. And it's proven by, you know, no one seems to act from government on what people come on the radio and discuss. And one thing that really, well, two things get me really rattled is I had to go to A&E, and they were very thorough, fantastic. But while I was talking to the guys and the girls up there, they're doing 12-hour shifts, and a lot of people know they do 12-hour shifts. That's a long shift. They're getting tired. They're in the next day, going home late, back in the next day, starting over again, you know, and they're getting run down. There's no backup for them. There's no extra staff coming in, and there's no money. And that's all they get told. The money for the healthcare service is not there, but yet they can go and waste £70 million on a Liverpool scheme and just pull it out of the back pocket. There you are. That money will sort that. And then you've got the Chief Minister, which really rattles me. You can't swear on the radio, but I'd love to, but I won't. He rattles me. All of a sudden, he becomes Chief Minister. oh, let's get a population up to 100,000. This island is not geared up for 100,000 people. Brains of a goldfish. What does he expect going to happen, right? The health service can't cope at the moment. You know, you go. People saying A&E is packed. Well, it is packed because you can't get a doctor's. You can't get a doctor's. You can't get a doctor's appointment because the people that they've got coming over now, you know, spot the Manx person now. You know, it's like people are coming over all the time, moving to the island already without inviting more people, and the stress on our services is growing and growing and growing and growing. You ring back in the morning at 8 o'clock because that's all the receptionist can tell you. You ring back at 8 o'clock in the morning. You're on the engaged tone. 20 past, you enter the phone. Sorry, all emergency appointments have gone. You know, so you have to go to Mandoch or you have to go to A&E because there's just no money being put into the health service over here. The infrastructure has gone off the Isle of Man. There's nothing left. And you've got an idiot of a chief minister banging on about getting the population to 100,000 people. That's all that's in his head.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, Steve, for a moment. But what if some of those extra people, those 15,000 people, could be those who might fill the shortfall in our health services?
Well, this is what I was going to say. Why not, you know, some sort of a relocation package, put some money in for the consultants, for the specialists that we so desperately need? Because you know what it's like. You go to hospital, if anything more than a nosebleed, send them to Liverpool, send them across. We can't deal with that here. We can't deal with that here. There's no point saying we don't, because that's what we've done for years. Get on the plane, fly away, get sorted out. And that's not right. They built a state-of-the-art hospital up there. Look what's inside it. You know, and that's not the guy's fault on the Isle of Man. The people on the ground that we have here are worth the weight in gold. Doctors and nurses, fantastic. Do a great job. Everybody, from all the domestics in hospital, they're great. What they do is fantastic, and I'm proud of them. But we need to back them up now. They want to increase the island population. They need to increase our services that we can offer and look after the public that we have now. No matter, try to get more people here. Look at what you've got now on the Isle of Man and look after the people that have paid into the system all these years. Look after these people. Am I looking for fresh people? Look after what you've got here and back our health service up. And they should listen to this radio and realise that people like me and the other callers as well, you know, have got issues with them. And people vote these MHKs in. I didn't vote for any of them. They're all a waste of time. But they vote these MHKs in and then start whinging about them. You're thinking, well, hang on a minute. You know, it's a bit two-faced that. You voted them in, don't moan about them. But the people that didn't vote them in, like me, I can go and have a whinge at them, and I feel justified to whinge at them. When you go to A&E and you've got a poorly relative or you're poorly and you're sitting there and you're waiting, and I don't mind waiting because when you get in, you are dealt with professionally. But let's back our health service up. Let's give the doctors and nurses, let's put money into it. Get more staff involved. You with me?
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you very much for phoning. Thank you for not swearing either.
Thanks. No, you're okay. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you very much indeed. Let's go back to some of the text messages that we've got. Phil's been in touch to say, I was a medical receptionist at a GP practice for 26 years and I remember it was said we were going paperless 10 years ago. Nothing has changed as a staff member every day scans on hundreds of patient records to digitise it for their records. All the resources, staff, time, paper, ink, postage, money on both sides, i.e. hospital and GPs, could be saved if it was created digitally in the first place at Nobles Hospital. Also, our Chief Minister is leading a policy of increased population when the infrastructure can't cope with what we've got, similar to what Steve was just saying, and that includes our health service, GP, dentist, waiting times at the hospital, never mind the rest, as in roads and sewage, etc. Thanks very much for that comment there, Phil. In light of the teachers increasing the industrial action, this is a message from Jeff. I feel the island's population are totally indifferent to the plight of the health service, teachers, bus drivers and serving police officers having to use a food bank. Funny how all their government paid jobs, the island's population wants to turn up at A&E or pack their kids off to school, pick up a phone, expect the police to attend 24 hours a day or walk out of the house and get on a bus to go to and from work without any consideration to the working conditions of the people operating those services. And why, if your radio station actually cares about the facts, do you invite MHKs to offer their side but never representatives from people running the services? Jeff, we invite comment from every possible side, and that is absolutely our aim. We want to hear from people who are involved in certain services, but naturally it's a difficult thing, isn't it? Not many people want to put their head above the parapet and single themselves out. There might be a reason for that. James says training and safeguarding, one of the failings of the report, while the staff sat around for months during COVID on full pay with no one attending the hospital, they were bored. That was the time to arrange updated training and safeguarding. It could have been done via Zoom. Ground staff are not going to offer to do this. They need to be guided and instructed, exactly what the management minister is getting their fat salaries for. Woeful management, they are responsible, and the minister, they should all be held accountable and fired. I wonder if anybody who worked in the health services, James, during COVID would object to the idea that they sat around bored. I don't know. I finished working for the DHSC early because of management. I know of six people who've left in the past 4 weeks. Top heavy of people firing from the hip, making it up as they go, leaving people on the ground and clients vulnerable. That is a message from a text who wants to keep their details anonymous. John says the problem with the hospital must be management. We pay our MHKs to look into these things. Why is it down to the public to have to text or call a radio station to get things moving? Who's in charge? What's being done? Why is this going on? It's very disconcerting to listen to this. And as for increasing our population, how on earth will that help? It will simply compound all the problems. John says, I'm disgusted with the games being played in government recently. This is a text from a lady who says, my husband died in Nobles with no one by his side due to a human error last year. I didn't even get an apology and I still haven't said goodbye to him. When I worked at the hospital, says this texter, and had to fill out a survey about working conditions, it was supposed to be confidential. We had to sit in the supervisor's office with her watching everything we wrote, so you couldn't actually write what you thought or felt or how you were treated. That says it all. She was a bully and didn't want anyone writing how they really felt about the working conditions. This is a text from Jane to say, I was annoyed the other week to see two DOI workers with DOI vans parked side by side camping at Glen Willen campsite. Why are these workers using vans paid for by the taxpayer for their personal use? Another text here from George saying, many people have been bullied out of government. Not all are bad, but when you visit Nobles, they don't even seem to read your notes beforehand. The Isle of Man has had staff shortages across the board. We need an increase in working people to raise the bar higher, as they can be very cliquey here. There is a text here from text ending 404. The problem, it seems to me, the public vote MHKs in to represent them every 5 years, and all they end up doing is joining the club of freeloaders who are just looking after number one. MHK's salary and pension should be taken out of the hands of the civil service and should be administered by private co-eds. You can also contact us on WhatsApp, and Andy asks, conveniently, Tynwald has detached itself from hospital staffing issues, hasn't it, by forming Manx Care, and isn't the chair of the board Mr. Foster CBE not living here? Isn't that the same with the other board members? Where is the local accountability? Just a couple more text messages before we finish. If I haven't read your text message out, I will keep it and we'll carry them over to tomorrow's programme. Paul says, feral in human terms means wild, fierce and uncontrolled. This is a damning verdict of the way Nobles Hospital is being run. I agree with the previous caller. This should be addressed by government immediately. And Dee has been in touch to say, I've said this before on previous shows with Andy, but I'll repeat it. Obviously, all urgent admissions to Nobles go into ED. However, for other medical, orthopaedic, ophthalmology, gynae, etc., they go, all specialities are admitted into ED for assessment and treatment. So that's 14 acute beds plus two assessment rooms, and the small minor illness and injury rooms are used. All urgent referrals, non-urgent referrals and self-attendees. So I think what Dee's saying there is that everything has to go through ED, and then it's directed. If you need to be admitted, you're directed to the right place after that. Thank you so, so much for all your texts, emails and your calls this afternoon. There is a great deal to talk about. Some of the questions raised, we will find out the answers to before tomorrow's programme. If you missed any part of today, it will be shortly available as a podcast at manxradio.com. Thank you so much as ever to Barry Redfern for producing today's show. And if you think of something out of hours when we're not here and you want to get it off your chest, 682-631 is the answer phone message. And you can leave a message there. We can play it out in the show and see what other people think. I'll be back from midday tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I'm going to leave you with Christy D with 1 to 3.